This is episode 21, a solo episode with your host, me, Brendan Hardman. G'day everyone and welcome to the Blokecast. I'm your host, Brendan Hardman, and each week we bring you an inspirational guest or message to help you blokes out there live a holistically healthy lifestyle. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are around the world, and let's get stuck in. Daniel Goleman, who is a famous psychologist, journalist, and author, wrote this quote: "Our ability to manage ourselves and handle relationships matters twice as much as IQ." What we're talking about today is emotional intelligence, EQ, or in other words, emotional awareness. So actually understanding what it is that's going on in our brain and then being able to act on that, being able to actually make a difference with what we're thinking about. I'm so pumped to bring you this episode. It's a little bit shorter than normal. However, I think it's packed full of advice. It's packed full of tactics that you can apply to your life right now, starting from today. It's going to make you a better friend. It's going to make you a better husband. It's going to make you a better partner. It's going to make you a better bloke. Listening to this episode, actually learning and actually taking in what it is we're trying to get across to you here is seriously going to change your life. But before we get stuck into the episode, it is back by popular demand. I don't think anyone's demanding this, but we're still going to call it popular demand. It is Legend of the Week time. And this week's Legend of the Week goes to John Lynam Music. So just before we get stuck into this little review that's come through from John Lynam Music, if you haven't already, then head over to Facebook, which I'm sure I haven't actually mentioned his music on here before. So I'm kicking goals today. We're actually doing this this live as well. Like, this is just I've added these buttons into my machine and into my little editing thing. And then this is all just one big flow at the moment. So let's see how we go here. But head over to Facebook and actually search John Lynam Music. And he's got this awesome song that he wrote a few years ago for Anzac, for the Anzac spirit, I guess. And he met a soldier. I can't remember where it was that he met him. Met him at a pub and somewhere. And then he's actually built a relationship with him, learned a lot about him, and then written a song about his life and his journey through his mental health battles and through his, I guess, his story about his going to Afghanistan, coming back from Afghanistan and not being able to relate to society and all those types of things. It's an incredible song. So jump over, a little short plug here for John Lynam Music. Jump over to John Lynam Music on Facebook and you can check out that song. Let's get stuck into his review, which is a 5-star review. And it says, "Very, very grateful for finding this podcast brilliant. Mate, I really appreciate your review there and I really appreciate your rating. And mate, you this week are Legend of the Week." If you guys out there want to help us grow and you want to help us spread this word to more people and get this in front of more people every single week, then you need to get onto iTunes, you need to give us a rating, and you need to give us a review. This allows us to actually pop up in searches on iTunes. It's like a search engine like Google. The more ratings you get, the higher you pop up. So jump on there, give us a rating, give us a review. If you haven't already done it, it will take you 2 seconds to do. And you could then be featured as Legend of the Week. You can also jump over to Facebook and give us a review on Facebook. We also make those guys Legend of the Week as well. Okay. Thank you all for putting up with this schmozzle of an intro. However, it's time now. Sit back, relax, and let's get stuck in. Okay, so as we said in our intro, this episode today is all about emotional awareness. So What is emotional awareness and why the bloody hell is it so important to blokes? Well, emotional awareness is the ability to recognize and make sense of not just our own emotions, but also of those around us. Being aware of our emotions and what is actually happening with our brain can make us better husbands, better partners, better bosses, better friends, and simply put, just better blokes in general. It's so important. I just cannot stress how important this is to be able to sit there and actually recognize what is happening in your brain and then be able to act on that to be able to prevent it from being from influencing your behaviors, your performance, whatever it is. So if you can understand your own mind and actually have the ability to deal with your own emotions, it allows you to open real and honest lines of communication with those around you. This is incredibly important when it comes to communicating, for example, with your partner or your spouse or your wife or your husband, whoever it is, your kids, people that are really, really close to you. Because by being closed off and pushing those emotions down, you close yourself off to those around you and you make yourself a little fortress that people can't penetrate. People begin to feel like they're walking on eggshells when they're around you, that they can't read your emotions, that they don't know if they can say anything. For example, when is the next time he's going to snap? I just don't understand. Does that sound familiar? So why is it so important to us? Why is being emotionally aware important to blokes? Because we simply don't do it. We simply just do not do this. And in the end, this is what drives us to either explode or in some cases to implode on ourselves. Things may seem fine. And do you know what? They probably are. You know, when you're functioning well, when you're going to work, you're dealing with stress well, when you're just living your everyday life and you're getting through life with no dramas, then yes, things can be fine. But things build up, my friends. I can tell you right now that stress builds. And when the black dog creeps up on us and depression sets in, this is when all of this goes to absolute shit. It's when everything comes crashing down that this stuff starts to actually become really important. You may actually sit there right now and say, it will never happen to me. But I can promise you, like, I can just tell you that the black dog simply just does not discriminate. And I sit here as living proof that I used to truly believe that I would never be touched by something like depression or anxiety. But the truth is that it can simply just happen to anyone. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what background you are or where you come from. This has the ability to severely affect your life. Okay, so this is important to us, but it's also important to dealing with other people. So now we're going to go through why that's the case. Why it is important to us, and then why is it important to dealing with others? So firstly, we're going to focus on us. So as blokes, we seem to deal with our emotions in one way. And all of us know this. All of us say this. It's reported in the media all the time, but no one seems to give a shit and no one seems to change it. And we deal with it by shutting them away and not accepting or acknowledging those emotions. This can be due to many, many reasons. It can be due to our upbringing, can be due to our work environment, to our home life, or simply even just due to our oversized egos that we have as blokes. Emotions serve a purpose in your life. They are like beacons for us, sending us a message all the time. And if you are able to recognize and understand those messages and those emotions, you can then understand how they affect your mood, your behavior, your decisions, and your performance. So key areas in a bloke's life, you know, we look at mood, like look at your home life. You know, you're looking at you're being actually happy every day, being able to wake up in the morning and get up and be happy with life. Not wake up in the morning and feel, fuck, I've got to get through another whole day. Then we look at things like behavior. So these key areas be able to stop us from, for example, lashing out at those that are close to us, whether it be verbally, in some cases physically, whatever it is, being able to control our behavior, being able to dictate when we want to do something and how we want to do something. The decisions and then the performance we go into work life, you know, making positive decisions, not only in our life, but also positive decisions at work, being able to make those decisions under stressful environments at work, but also being able to perform in different areas of stress, of sadness, of trauma, whatever it is that goes through your life, you're able to perform at all times. But if you are unaware of these emotions and their effect on you, then you can be influenced by them in a number of ways, whether it's, again, whether it's your decision-making, so making poor decisions, or behavior, so actually lashing out at your loved ones and not being able to actually control that. But it all has an effect. And that effect is something I like to call a spiral. So a spiral for me is something where, I guess it's a situation where everything starts to spin out of control and you just sink lower and lower and lower into the abyss of that spiral. For me, this was, you know, my depression and my anxiety in my life. If we use depression as an example, I used to be able to feel like my mood was changing. I couldn't identify at that stage what was causing my mood to change. I couldn't identify what feelings that I was going through my mind, but I could feel actually my mood changing. I could feel when I started to spiral, when I started to begin that spiral. And then I just remember feeling this incredible sense of helplessness because I wasn't able to control that. I knew I couldn't control what was going to happen next. I knew I couldn't control whether I was going to get angry, whether I was going to, you know, verbally lash out or something on those lines, or, you know, break down and cry and just cry for hours on end. Whatever it is, not be able to get out of bed on a daily basis because I was just too depressed and too, you know, fucking sad. I just couldn't control it. So I remember feeling just, it was just a sense of helplessness or a sense of almost, I don't want to say this because it, you know, really puts a hard stigma on people, but a sense of feeling useless. I felt useless in my own brain because I didn't understand the actual emotions that I was going through. I didn't understand how I could actually affect those and how I could change those and how I can prevent myself from getting to that point. So what are some ways that we can actually implement and understand these emotions more? The first one is one of my absolute favorites, and it's something that people will scoff at when they hear this. I guarantee there'll be people out there that will, you know, there'll be a small amount of people who say, yep, that's a fucking good idea. I'm going to implement that in my life. And then there's a bunch of people out there that will say, not for me, I'm not going to do that. And I can promise you that I was actually one of those people. When I first went down this tactic, I paid it off so fucking much because I was like, I don't fucking need this. And I felt like it was bullshit. You know, that's the honest truth. But it couldn't be so much further from the truth. So that first tactic, that first tip, is a thought journal. So I had a little pause there because I can just hear people just going, oh, the thought journal. He's mentioned this before. It's fucking bullshit. It doesn't work. I can tell you that it does. If you actually apply it and you actually think about it and you actually start to do the things that you need to do when it comes to a thought journal, it really fucking works. And so for me, the best way to do this, there's plenty of different ways. There's plenty of different, like, I guess, methods that psychologists and psychiatrists will get you to go through, or GPs will, whoever it is, will get you to go through, like, long, extensive thought journals, which are fantastic. And they do, as I said, they do work, but you need to be at a level to be able to do that. You need to go through a certain amount of training, a certain amount of, you know, being able to process and understand thoughts and then be able to write those down. And it takes a while to do. And it definitely takes a while to get used to. At the beginning, though, something as simple as recording both your negative and positive moments of the day, every day. So sitting down at the end of the day, having a notepad in front of you and just jotting down the things that pissed you off the most and the things that actually made you happy the most. And I say both because a lot of people will get you to focus on the negative, but the positive are just as important. You know, and I'll go into that as to why that is in a minute. But it's actually the easiest way to do it is to just sit down and say you have a negative interaction or a negative thought in your day. So you simply sit down, you write what happened. So, you know, Jan didn't fill up the toner in the printer and I got angry and I threw the toner across the room at Jen and said, fucking fill up the toner next time. You know, there's your moment. It seems pretty extravagant there. I'm not sure if Jen really deserved to get the toner thrown across the room at her, but, you know, next time hopefully she'll learn and she'll fill up the toner next time before she leaves it unattended. Okay, so what happened? That happened there. How did I react? So I overreacted there and I threw a toner across the room. Is that reasonable? Probably not. You know, how do I feel now? You know, if that was me, I'd probably feel pretty ashamed. I'd probably feel pretty guilty that I overreacted over something and I, you know, exploded when there was no need to. And so those three simple questions, what happened, how did I react, and how do I feel now? They're a great start for a thought journal, and they're just simple, simple questions that we can ask ourselves. And the reason we do this is so if you start to actually track these negative thoughts or these negative moments in your life, you can actually start to see a pattern. You start to see a pattern about what are there certain situations that make you tick. Like what makes you tick? What makes you fucking angry? You know, or what makes you go into a depressive cycle of thinking? You can actually start to see these moments. And so when they actually appear, if you do a lot of other training, if you do a lot of other, you know, mental awareness and learning these different skills that we go over in the Blokecast, and that you can, you know, go to your, I guess your GP or your psychiatrist or your psychologist and be able to interact with them as well and learn these things from them. Well, if you start to actually do these and you start to actually apply these in your life, when you get to the point when you actually start to feel one of these moments coming on, you can actually head it off. You can cut it off the head and you can prevent yourself from entering into the spiral. Or if you do get in the spiral, you can pull yourself back out again. But the reason why I say that you need to include positive experiences in this is because a great way to get yourself out of a negative cycle is to do something fucking positive. And so if you start to, again, write down these positive things. So what happened? I went to the driving range after work. I took a bit of time to myself and I chucked some music in my ears and I hit, you know, a bucket and a half of balls down the range for a couple of hours. How did I react in that situation? I just felt calm. You know, I felt peace within myself. And how do I feel now? I feel calm. I feel great. You know, so if you know then, if you start to track these patterns and you start to see, hey, look at these feelings that I'm getting every single time I go to the driving range for a couple of hours after work or for an hour or so, even just a 45 minutes in my lunch break. You know, I head down to the driving range, hit a bucket of balls, look at these feelings, look at these experiences that I'm getting from that. You start to track those and you start to, you know, see a pattern in those, the same way that you see a pattern in the negative things. So when you go through a negative moment and you have a really shit day, you can say, hang on a second, on the way home, you know what, I'm going to go and hit a bucket of balls because I know it's going to make me feel better. And I know that going home feeling like shit is going to create a negative environment at home, which is not what I want. Because I can guarantee that 98% of us or 99% of us, because there are some fucked up people in the world, but 99% of us don't want to take our shit home and impart it onto our family and our loved ones. It's not what we want to do. You know, we don't want to go home and have angry outbursts. We don't want to go home and, you know, in the extreme cases, which I'm certainly fortunate that I didn't ever had to experience, and whether that's to do with upbringing or whether that's to do what it is, I don't really know. But, you know, in the extreme cases, you don't want to go home and fall into a domestic violence or a domestic abuse kind of scenario, you know, and not be able to control that and not be able to prevent yourself from getting to that. That's not what we want. No one here listening to this, I hope, would ever want to go home and have to put their family through that. And so how do we stop ourselves if we've had a really shit day at work or if we are really stressed is by implementing positive things into our life, positive changes that can make us or put us into a better time frame. So the second tip or the second tactic that we can use to understand your emotions better is, again, people are going to giggle, people are going to laugh, meditation and mindfulness. So when I say meditation and mindfulness, I don't mean crossing your legs, sitting there, doing a hum, you know, and having like bells chime in the background or cymbals chime in the background or anything like that. You know, it's meditation and mindfulness are two different things. However, they're very closely linked. So meditation is being able to relax and being able to, you know, let the emotions or let the thoughts that are going through your brain pass through your brain and not let them affect you. And so it's being able to essentially zone out. You know, that's and as blokes, I don't know about you guys, but as blokes, I can tell you that I'm a professional at zoning out when my wife is talking. So, you know, why can't I do something positive in my life, like doing a bit of meditation and zoning out? Because I can guarantee you that she tells me all the time, and she would happily tell anyone that I'm not paying attention when she's talking to me. So if this is a form of, I guess, of zoning out, of meditation in a sense, is where you're not allowing things to come into your brain, and you're not allowing them to affect you. It's not a positive form of meditation. I definitely don't condone it, especially if you don't want to get a slap to the head or a kick to the balls or something along those lines. But it certainly is a good way of understanding it, a good analogy that we can use to understand that meditation is actually very, very normal, and it's very, very, very powerful. Mindfulness, on the other hand, is actually being able to understand what's happening in your brain and being able to then, you know, choose whether you let that affect you or whether you let that pass through you and move on. So, you know, understanding that, I'm trying to think of a good example here. So a great example of mindfulness, I guess, is when you're laying down, and this is a great exercise for people to do, and it's a really good way of getting you into a meditative state as well. So you're laying down on the floor or on the bed, wherever it is you, or on the lounge, whatever it is that you choose to lay on, whatever the piece of equipment that you like to lay on is. But you're laying down there, you've got your, you know, chuck some headphones on, play a bit of soft music quietly just in your ears, and just something to distract your brain from that ticking that it constantly does. And then slowly start from your feet or from your toes upwards and start to tense the muscles in your body. So, for example, you would start by tensing the muscles in your left foot, and then you would start by tensing the muscles in your left calf, and then tensing the muscles in your left hamstring, in your left quad, in your left hip, in your left buttocks, and then in your right buttocks, in your right quad, in your right hamstring, in your right calf, in your right foot, and in your right toes. And then work your way back up again until you get to your butt, into your bum again. Then you go to your lower back, tensing the muscles in your lower back, and then releasing them. Tensing the muscles in your left side of your spine, then releasing them. In the right side of your spine, and then releasing them. All the way up, down your arms, back up your arms, down your right arm, back up your right arm, into your neck, into your head, into your skull, whatever it is that you can tense in your forehead. And then combining all that by tensing every single muscle in your body at once and holding it for a period of around about 15 seconds, and then just releasing it with a really, really big breath and then relaxing. You know, that is a great way of mindfulness. You know, you're being mindful about your situation that's around you, being mindful about each muscle within your body and being able to, I guess, look at and affect each muscle within your body. And this is a great way to get you into a meditative state. Then you can go into a meditation, and I use guided meditation because, you know, I'm not smart enough to be able to do that on my own and be able to talk my way through that. So I just have some, generally it's always a British voice for some reason. Don't know why, but some British bloke or British female just talking me through, you know, thinking about things and breathing and different cycles and stuff like that. But I guarantee you, I'm sitting here and I'm putting a guarantee on this, that if you sit down and you apply meditation and mindfulness to your life, 30 minutes a day, even 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night, it's 15 minutes, that's it. If you do that twice a day or once a day, every day of the week, you will change your life. I am not even joking. It will change your life. Make it a habit. Start doing it. You know, do it at a certain time each day. Do it when it feels comfortable for you each day. But if you do it each day, I can guarantee you will start to change your life. Our last, I guess, tactic, or our last way that we can understand our feelings a bit better is actually by understanding what it is you are actually feeling. So a great example of this, or a great way to do this, is jump online and type into Google feelings wheel. And you can see that there are a certain, I think there's about six, maybe seven, maybe five, I can't really remember off the top of my head, but there's about six or so core emotions that we feel. So sadness, anger, you know, disgust, maybe joy, happiness, whatever it is. There's about six of them. I don't have the wheel in front of me, otherwise I'd just read it out to you, but you can just Google it and go on and find it. But the key thing here is it'll blow your mind if you actually start to look at this and start to realize what it is you're actually feeling. So your core emotions are the ones that affect everything in your body. So sadness obviously makes you sad. But then the core beliefs or the core behaviors that you're expressing actually cause those core emotions. So a great way of doing this, it sounds confusing, but a great way of doing this, or a great way of an example of doing this, of thinking about this, is we use shame as an example. So shame is a very common emotion that men feel when they are depressed. This is just an example here, but shame is a very, very common emotion. So we feel ashamed of things. We feel shameful in the fact that we, you know, can't control the emotions and we can't make ourselves happy, that we can't actually get on top of things, you know. And then from shame, it leads to guilt. When you start to think about guilt, we feel guilty that we're impacting this on our family, that we're causing our family to feel this. And so then once we start to delve into that emotion even further, the core emotion that we're actually seeing there is sadness. So shame, guilt, and sadness are all the same. They all come under sadness. So I remember when I was going through my counseling at first, and I was sitting there and I was saying to the psychiatrist, and he was asking me, you know, what is it that you're feeling? You know, we go through all these different scenarios, and I couldn't put a finger on what it was I was feeling. I couldn't actually identify the emotions that I was feeling. And then I said to him, you know, the only thing I really feel is I said, it might sound really stupid, but I just feel an immense amount of sadness in my life. Like, I feel sad. Like, it's not that I feel like I feel down, or I feel like I've got a bad life. I just feel sad. And I said, it sounds stupid in my brain. And he said, no, it sounds perfect. Because then we started to extrapolate that a bit further, and we started to delve into that a bit further, and we started to get into guilt. And we started to see that I had all these feelings, that I was feeling guilty all the time, that I was, you know, imparting this, and I was pushing this, I was causing all this pain on my family. So I felt really guilty, you know. And then we delved into shame, and I started to say, well, yeah, I've really battled with shame for a long time, whether it's shame looking at myself in the mirror, you know, looking at my body shape, or, you know, potentially being ashamed of the fact that I can't deal with the emotions, being ashamed of the fact that I had to actually stand up and say, I need help. And these are key problems that a lot of men go through when they're dealing with something like depression. But in the end, we kind of realize, obviously, as a caveat, what I just said there, we realize that there is no shame in these types of things. There is no shame in actually speaking up and reaching out. So I want to make that 100% clear. But it is also very common for men to feel that way, to feel ashamed about the way they feel. And so that led me down that path of actually understanding, hey, when I'm feeling guilty about something, when I'm feeling ashamed about something, I'm actually sad. And you know what? I can actually then apply something on the other side of the wheel, so a positive emotion that pulls me out of that sadness. You know, I can even delve into, I can look at my thought journals and look at those different types of thoughts, those different types of emotions, those different types of activities that are having a positive effect on my life. And I can apply those in those situations to be able to help me through that sadness. Okay, so on to our second part of this episode. And that is how we can now apply all this to other people. And why the fuck is that important? So why is it really important for dealing for blokes to be able to apply this type of emotional awareness or this, as we're going to go into EQ or emotional intelligence, to dealing with other people in their lives? So because we can, if we do this and we start to apply this, we can begin to understand our own emotions, but it also helps us to better understand the emotions of others around us. So whether it's friends, whether it's family, but especially our loved ones, our really close core of loved people around us, we can better start to understand the emotions that they are going through, that they are experiencing. So as I said before, this can be labeled sometimes as something called emotional intelligence or EQ. And for me, there are four key areas that I believe that we can develop when we look at harnessing EQ and making ourselves better blokes. Essentially, this is what fundamentally this will do. It'll make you a better human being and make you be able to relate to others around you. So those four key areas are, the first one is understanding emotion. So as we said earlier, it's our ability to be able to understand the meaning of different emotions and how these relate to behaviors and performance, both negatively and positively. Second one is perceiving emotions. So this is where we can actually start to detect or interpret someone's emotions just by looking at them or potentially by listening to them. So for example, by looking at the expressions that they have on their face, potentially the pictures they're taking themselves, or in other ways, by listening to their voice, by listening to the emotion that is driven through their voice. So as we start to develop this, we can start to perceive those emotions that people are starting to feel. The third one is managing emotions. So this then gives us the ability to control both our emotions, but also control the emotions of the person in front of us. So the person we're dealing with, whether that's a loved one, a coworker, a family worker, your wife, whoever it is, you're able to actually control their emotions. So a lot of a great example of this is my wife always says to me that I'm like her rock. You know, she's like my rock. Hands down, say that to her. But she always says, I'm like her rock. I'm like her sounding board. And so she will, if she has an emotional outburst or she has, you know, a bit of anxiety or something on those lines, she's able to, you know, unload that on me. And then I'm able to listen to that. And that's something we'll get into later on, active listening. But I'm able to listen to that and I'm able to be that, you know, that guiding voice for her, to be that person that sits there and that helps her, that listens to her, that understands her, and that helps her. So then I'm able to help her manage those emotions that she's going through, whether it's anxiety, whether it's something to do with fear or some type of something that she's not enjoying, maybe something to do with her work. It could be a lot of different things that happen in everyday lives. But I'm actually able to listen to that and then help her manage her emotions by giving her guidance. And so this is what we talk about when we talk about managing emotions. The fourth one is using emotions. So this is where we have the ability to use emotions to our advantage rather than our disadvantage. So rather than before we were saying that those emotions were causing us to go into a spiral, in this case, we actually be able to use those to our advantage and use them to motivate others to complete tasks or problem solve. You know, and again, this isn't just work-based. It sounds very work-based, but you can apply this in your own lifestyle, your own home. So those four key emotions again, or those four key pillars that we're working on then, the first one is understanding emotion. The second one is perceiving emotions. The third one is managing emotions. And the last one is using emotions. So if we go through those four key areas and you work through them and you work on developing those, what does that get you? Where does that then lead you? So for me, it helps blokes improve two main areas that we generally suck at. The first one is empathy. You know, I can sit there. I'm actually quite an empathetic person. This is something I've worked on. I feel like I've more come naturally to it throughout my life. I've always been a caring type of type of bloke. But it's definitely something that I've had to improve over the years, especially when I joined the army and especially when I became an officer in the army, when you start to manage people every single day, having a really good EQ is huge. And so empathy was something I really had to work on. I really had to further develop. So what is empathy, if you don't know? So empathy is where you can actually understand or feel what another person is going through and then be able to relate to it and be able to help them and be able to guide them. This is what empathy is. The second, which is another thing that blokes generally suck at, is effective communication. So there are different levels of effective communication. Blokes tend to be really, really great at effective communication when it comes to operating in stressful situations, whether it be in a workplace, whether it be on a sporting team, you know, whether it be on, with the boys. I don't know where it is, but it's probably not too stressful at that point. But you get what I mean. There's different occasions where men can be really, really great at effective communications. But there's other areas which we really suck at. And that's generally the stuff to do with our emotions. So this is the stuff we're talking about here. That's generally the stuff to be able to effectively communicate what it is that's going on in our brain with those who we love so we can have a good conversation about it. We can actually talk about this shit. That is where we really, really fucking suck. And so if we're now able to apply everything that we just learned just then, so we're talking about those four key areas. So we're talking about perceiving emotions, managing emotions, using emotions, the first one, understanding emotions. And then if we start to imply empathy into that, it's going to lead to effective communication. And it's going to allow us to harness that into a conversation with someone. And whether that is by mentoring, whether it is by motivating a group of people to a common task or problem, or simply just having a positive conversation with someone in your life. Now, all of this is fantastic and it applies so heavily and so well to a business sense. So if you are sitting out there and you're in a leadership position within your business, or potentially that you want to move to a leadership position in your business, then developing a strong EQ rather than an IQ is going to be able to put you on the path to be potentially to be an incredible leader. The best leaders that I've ever met in my whole entire life have been men and women that have a strong EQ. So they have a strong emotional intelligence and they're able to relate to those around them. They're able to bring those around them up and lift them with them. That is what a fantastic leader does. So it's not necessarily being able to manage. It's not necessarily being able to direct. It's about getting in the situation where you can lift those up around you and make them better and actually affect their lives. But imagine if we took this model that we just spoke about and we added in one key skill. And that key skill is active listening. So when we talk about active listening, we actually mean being in the moment and listening to what someone is saying to us and then being able to digest this and be able to give a constructive answer to that person. So if we added that one key skill in active listening and then we applied it to our relationships, imagine the incredible effect that this could have on our lives. Imagine the incredible effect that this could have on your relationship at home. So as we end this episode, and it's a little bit shorter than what our normal episodes are, and that's fine, but as we end this episode, I'm going to issue you a challenge. I'm going to issue every single person, male, female, do not care, dog, I don't care who's listening to this. If you've got a dog smart enough to be able to interpret all this, I definitely don't, because I've got Labradors, so they're dumb as they literally eat bark, so, and they eat rocks. So yeah, that shows their intelligence. However, I challenge each and every one of you to go home every day for the next week and for a minimum of 30 minutes, sit down with your wife, sit down with your partner, sit down with your husband, sit down with your kids. It doesn't matter who it is. Sit down with someone who is important to you in your life and have a meaningful fucking conversation with them with no distractions, where you listen to their stories and then you apply the above skill set that we've just talked about, whether it's in part one, in managing your own emotions, part two, in managing the emotions of those around you, apply that to that situation. Apply that to that conversation every day. It will honestly change your life. Okay, that is all we have for this episode today. A little bit shorter than what we normally do, but that's okay. Thought we'd get in a quick fire episode about emotional intelligence and emotional awareness that you guys can use every single day, and you can apply this in your life and you can start to change now. This is the basis that will put you on to the right track. I can promise you that. And if you develop this now, if you aren't going through, not everyone out there is going through a mental health battle. Not everyone that listens to this has depression. Not everyone that listens to this has anxiety. You know, there are some fucking normal people. There are some absolutely legends out there that listen to this podcast who are cruising along in life having a great time. That is fucking brilliant. Don't stop that. What I'm saying to you is if you develop these skills right now, in the time that it comes when you go through a stressful situation in life, whether it is that you go through depression or anxiety or I don't know what it will be in your life, but potentially you get laid off from your job. Potentially you go broke. Potentially you lose your house. Potentially you've got a huge credit debt. You know, whatever it is that you're going through in your life, when you get to that point of that stressful point or that traumatic point in your life, if you develop these skills now, you will come out of it so much better. I wish I knew all these skills about and being able to actually understand my emotions before I went through depression. I can tell you right now, it would have saved me a whole lot of, and my family, a whole lot of fucking pain and a whole lot of emotion. And I can honestly say that I wouldn't have been there a few years ago, sitting there ready to take my own life, if I had have known these skills. So please, please learn these skills. Listen, go back and listen to this episode again and write these skills down. Fucking get a pen and paper and jot this shit down, because I can promise you that if you develop these skills, it will change your life and it will better set you up. It'll either put you on the right path to get better, or it will set you up so that when you go through something, you can come out from the other side in a much more positive mindset and a much more positive frame of thought. That is all we have for today. As I said at the beginning of the episode, if you want to be a legend of the week, all you need to do is jump onto iTunes, jump onto Facebook, give us a rating, give us a review, and you can be featured on this podcast. It can be anonymous. Send me a message. You know, flick me a message, a DM, an Instagram, or a message over in Facebook, and just say, hey, love your podcast or hate your podcast, whatever it is. Just so you know, I want to remain anonymous, but I'd really love to throw this review in there to be Legend of the Week. I'll throw you in as anonymous. If you listen, you know it's you. You can be Legend of the Week. You can be featured on this podcast, and you can also help us grow in the same instance. All you need to do is jump online, jump on iTunes, give us a rating, give us a review, jump over to Facebook, give us a review over there, and you will help this podcast grow. You will help this podcast reach more and more people. I always get people asking me all the time, what can I do to help? The only thing you can do at the moment to help is simply share this content. Simply give us a rating, give us a review. It will help us reach more people because it helps us show up in the search things within iTunes. As I said, that's all for this week. Hope everyone has a great week this week, and you'll catch up with us in the coming episodes. And yeah, go out there. Actually listen to what I said there. I challenge you all to go through that, see if you can do that, and let me know what happens. Spend a week. You know, by the time this comes out, it'll be Tuesday or Wednesday. Tuesday or Wednesday next week, flick me a message and tell me what happened. How do you actually feel? Did it help? Did it not help? Yeah, I'll happily sit down with you and talk to you and say, hey, we can reflect on this together. We can go through this together and work out, hey, potentially was I doing this? Potentially was I doing this wrong? Should I have been focusing on these areas? You know, I'm more than happy to do that. You can do that by either getting in touch with us at Facebook, getting in touch with our Instagram, or you can just email us at blokecast@gmail.com. So no the, just blokecast@gmail.com. All right. Hope everyone has a great week, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Cheers.